You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Acts 2. We've been preaching on and teaching on the name of Jesus. It's very interesting that last song we sang was Call His Name, and that was, it worked out that way. Actually, we taught on authority. On Wednesday nights, we do series. We taught on authority for a couple of months. Then we started teaching on the name of Jesus about a month ago. I guess it was about a month ago. And started a natural transition. You go from authority. You know, our authority and our rights are through His name. Our authority and our rights are not in and of ourselves. We do have authority on the earth. There's no question. But that authority comes through the name of Jesus. It's been restored to us in Him, in Christ. And so now that I am a Christian, hallelujah, I can pray in Jesus' name and my prayers get answered. In fact, it is in His name that I lay hands on the sick and they recover. Yes. I'm not doing that in my power. I'm doing that in His power. Right. I'm not doing that in my name. I'm doing it in His name. Yes. If you go with my name, there's no healing in my checking account, but there's quite a bit in His account. Yes. And He's given us an open check, signed, and all we got to do is fill in the blank.
Amen. That's right.
Fill in the blank meaning fill in the blank according to what's in His account. Now, obviously, there's some things that are not in there. There's some people praying in Jesus' name for things that God does not promise. But you have to keep it balanced. But we do have a right and authority in Jesus' name to pray and believe for whatever He does.
That's right.
And whatever He is. You know, I think the scripture in Psalm says He's exalted His word above His name. Everybody say His word's above His name.
His word's above His name.
Okay, that means you couldn't pray for something in Jesus' name that wasn't in His word.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Because His word's above His name. You say, well, it's only good as His name. Well, His name's only as good as His word. Your name's only as good as your word. I'm only as good as my word, and my name is only as good as my word, and the name of Jesus is only as good as God's word. So you couldn't just pray for something that God doesn't promise and say, well, I said in Jesus' name. Well, the authority of Jesus' name doesn't cover what's not in His account.
That's right.
Just like I couldn't act in the name of a business that didn't do what I'm trying to buy or trying to do in that name. I mean, I used to work for Trinity Produce. I've shared this example before. Wholesale produce company years ago, and I'd buy and sell in the name of Trinity Produce. Not once did they ask me for my P&L, my financial statement. I wasn't buying in my name. I was buying in their name. But I didn't buy cars and trucks. I bought produce. That's the business they were in. Amen? So once you find out what business Jesus is in and realize that you're part of Jesus and company, that went over real big. And you're not the boss.
There you go.
Hello. But you are an agent. Secret agent, man. I'm an agent. I can flip my badge out, special agent. Jesus and company. I can pray in that name. And whatever Jesus does, He'll do through me as a representative of Him. And so our authority comes through His name, not through my name. It's not my worthiness, it's His worthiness. It's not what I did, it's what He did. We play that game. See, when we come to church, you know, we try to get holy and worthy enough to get our prayers answered. I believe in holy living. I believe the Bible's very plain along those lines. But I didn't get saved because I was so good, and I'm not going to get my prayers answered because I'm so good. I'm not going to get to a point someplace in my life that I'll be so good, so perfect, so holy. Hey, I'm there. God's going to hear me now, and He's going to answer my prayers.
Amen.
If you ever get there, call me, because I got a lot of things I'd like done in my life. Maybe you could do it for me. But see, that's not going to happen because I'm never going to be that worthy in myself. My righteousness is not even mine. It's His.
Right.
Having not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. And I don't pray in my name. I come in His name.
Yes.
So last week we talked about praying and the rules of prayer as Jesus laid them out in John 14, 15, and 16. Of course, there is very plainly He told us to pray in His name. In fact, He said an amazing statement, the 12th verse of the 14th chapter. He says, "The works that I do shall you do also, and even greater works than these shall you do." If that didn't blow you away, I don't know what would. That's just staggering. The works I do you'll do, and even greater works than these shall you do. He that believes on me. He that believes on me. Wow. Do you believe on Jesus?
Yes.
He wasn't talking just to the disciples. He said, he that believes on me. Just like John 3:16. Whosoever, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him. should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that scripture. We believe that scripture. Because we believed on him, we have everlasting life. Whosoever believes. But then he says the same thing, actually the same book, 14th chapter, 12th verse. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, also in greater works, and these shall he do, because I go to my Father. The next verse says, and whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So the key to doing what Jesus did, of course, is taking his place as an agent of Jesus, an ambassador of Jesus, someone who's authorized to use his name. That's the key. And actually, he does it through us. When it happens, it's not us doing it. It's, oh, we're going through the motions and lifting the hands and saying the words, but it is him that's doing it through us. Because he says, I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Wow. Man, that's good. But that puts it on a legal basis. Does that make sense? That takes it out of the realm of, you know, some people are just real good and some people are not so good. And, you know, God just, he just plays favorites. Well, the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. And the idea that Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul were any better than us, really, according to the Scripture, they many times told us they weren't. Woo! Hallelujah. Acts. Found Acts 2nd chapter. Y'all just amen any time, join in and help me. It takes me several minutes to just catch my breath after the worship service. Acts the 2nd. Let's just talk about the name of Jesus in the book of Acts, the first few chapters here, and talk about the use of the name, how it was used, what they did with it. We've already talked about how that it's the name above every name. You know, Philippians 2 tells us that God has highly exalted Jesus, given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Yeah. Believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. That means if a little green Martian lands in my backyard, he's got to bow in the name of Jesus, if you believe in those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, in Ephesians, that Ephesians prayer, first chapter, actually the 19th verse goes on and says he's praying, Paul's praying, that we know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but in the age to come. So he's not just Lord. Jesus' name is not just above every name in heaven, earth, under the earth, but his name is above every name in this age or any age to come.
Amen.
So it covers all locations, locales, as far as him being Lord, and he covers all ages in the future even. Pretty well takes it all in. Amen? That name is above every name. It's the most excellent name that Hebrews talks about in the first chapter. To which of the angels said he said, sit here at my right hand. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hallelujah. That name Jesus. And as we sang tonight, that's the name we call on.
Yes.
Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
Woohoo!
Amen.
Saved. I love that. That's a Greek word sozo. It means more than just eternal life. It means healed, delivered, set free. It's translated healed in the New Testament many times. In fact, thy faith hath made thee whole. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5. That word whole is the same word saved, translated, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10:13. So really, calling on Jesus' name gets us saved from sickness, gets us saved from hell, gets us saved from depression, gets us saved from whatever the problem is.
Yeah. Amen.
I call your name. Wow, I guess so. Amen. Acts 2, after Peter preached that wonderful sermon, an explanation of what took place in the upper room when they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues and came out reeling and rocking in Jerusalem that day. And they said, what is this? And of course, you know, Peter said, this is that. I've heard a sermon preached, and I preached one myself called This Is That. You know, this baptism with the Holy Spirit, speaking with the tongues. What is that? Well, this is that. This is that. That was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters prophesy, and maidens will prophesy. Well, he preached this message to them, and he goes on down and says this, still ministering, the 21st verse, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Same thing I quoted in Romans 10:13. Everybody say, call on the name.
Call on the name.
Well, obviously in the book of Acts, they understood this to mean that if they were going to be saved and go to heaven, they must call on Him, Jesus. And then immediately in the third chapter, just track with me here if you would. The third chapter, we see Peter and John going together in the temple to our prayer to pray. And there was a man at the gate beautiful who was lame from his mother's womb. And he asked alms or asked gifts to the poor. That's what alms are. Third verse, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with him, Peter said, "Look on us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. That's good. We ought to have an expectancy, amen? You ought to come to church expecting to receive something, amen? You ought to hear a sermon expecting to receive something. Because it's not just on the preacher. My best sermons is when y'all are involved and you're believing with me. And if you didn't like the message, well, it's your fault. At least that's my story and I'm sticking to it. So, no, I can preach a bad one too. But it says here, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something of them. Sixth verse says, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee," or "give I you," New King James Version. He didn't have silver and gold. He wasn't against it. He obviously had money. He didn't bring it with him. In many cases, God supplied his need. We know that. God wants to bless us and prosper us. But that wasn't the point. The point was, he had something better than that, and we have something better than that. And what he had was the name of Jesus.
That's right.
Woo. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." See, he even said that in the 4th chapter, 12th verse. You don't have to turn there. We'll get to it in a minute. Peter was telling the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he was telling them, he said, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now think about that a moment. We taught on this not too long ago, in this series, that the name's been given to us. God has given us the name of Jesus. Now obviously he's given it to us for a purpose. He's given it to us so we can pray and get our prayers answered. He's given it to us to make a difference in the world that we live in. He's given it to us to beat the enemy every time. He's given it to us. He's given us the wherewithal, the weaponry to make it to go over. But you and I do have to pick it up, and we got to move our lips and pray that name and say that name. Amen? So what Peter was saying very simply was that maybe I don't have silver and gold, but I have this. I have this name. It is mine. It is yours to possess. In fact, there's a purpose in all this. Jesus is in heaven. I know spiritually he's in us, but he is seated at the right hand of God in the heavenlies. And when he left, he gave us his name.
Right.
Mark 16, chapter, "In my name they shall." Matthew 28, chapter, Jesus, when he ascended up into heaven, he says, "All power, authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore." He commissioned us to continue his work. Well, how am I going to do what Jesus did? I have his name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, how arrogant of me to think that I could ever do what Jesus did. Yeah, but see, he gave me his name.
Yeah. Amen.
So he stands behind that name when I pray that name.
That's right.
It's not big me, it's big him.
That's right.
And it's his name I'm praying in. I mean, if I write a check with someone else's name on the check and they authorize me to use the check, it wasn't me that did it. I just wrote the check. It's his account that backs it up. And so he commissioned me, commissioned you to preach, teach in the name, to share the name, to bear the name. We are Jesus' people.
Amen.
That's who we are. Amen? So Peter understood that. And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now the man was healed. And I, of course, went over this before in some other teaches. I want to just zip through the book of Acts. And you can read that story. And he shouted and leaped and praised God. And they all gathered around Solomon's porch where he was standing and leaping, healed, and they wondered what in the world's going on here. And it's interesting what Peter says. 12th verse. "So when Peter saw it," their excitement, they're gathering around, lest they're fixing to make him a king or a god or whatever the case may be. "So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk?'" Well, yeah, Peter did that. Come on, man. That's Peter. I'm not Peter. Yeah, but Peter said it wasn't even his godliness that made it happen.
That's right. That's right.
And he said it wasn't even his own power that made it happen.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the Apostle Peter. I can never be like him. Wait a minute. Hold on. Slow down a minute. We're not asking you to be like Peter. We're asking you to be like Jesus. Oh, well now, stick the fork in, I'm done if that's the case. Oh no, he gave us the ability to do this. He gave us the equipment. He gave us the weaponry. He gave us his name. And all Peter did was pick it up. Pull the trigger.
That's right. That's good.
And he says this. So when Peter saw it, 12th verse, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. You denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Here it is, 16th verse. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Man, I mean, what could you add to that? I mean, how did you do it, Peter? Well, he told us. The name of Jesus. Thank God for the book of Acts. I love that. You know, the book of Acts gives you eyewitness accounts and testimonies of things that took place after Jesus rose from the dead. It really is not the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the New Testament church. Because as you go through here, there's more than just the Apostles doing things in here. You've got Philip in Acts 8, you know, preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, doing things. All through the Scripture, you see different people doing different things. People that are called by that name. People that are authorized and empowered with that name to go and do what they did. That's the secret. What is the secret to the power? Well, it's really no secret. It's always been, always will be Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And his name on your lips when you pray. The lips of a believer.
Yeah.
Peter made it very plain. He didn't want anyone to misunderstand this. He didn't want anyone to glorify him or make him out bigger than he was or begin to worship him or pray to him or whatever the case may be. He wanted to make it real plain. Listen, I did this by the power of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And of course, even in Jesus' day, when he walked the earth, we see Jesus commissioning the 12 in Luke the 9th chapter. Luke the 10th chapter, he commissioned 70 others also. And this is what's so neat. When they came back to report to him, you ready for this? This is so good. They came back and report to him and said, "Lord," the 70, not the 12, not the holy apostles. These were the holy 70. They said, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name."
Amen.
Wow. Man. So now it's not just, yeah, we got 12. We got 82 people doing this. I got to change my theology. There were 82 holy people. Well, actually, he told the whole church to take that name and run with it in Mark 16 chapter. He said in the 15th verse, he said, "Go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall." Woohoo.
Amen.
See, this name Jesus, this is the thing that people fight. It's not the good Lord, the man upstairs, the good book, church. It's Jesus that they fight. Not even so much Christ. And Christ is a good word. It's a biblical word. It's a title that Jesus has. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah. Messiah, the anointed one. Christ, the anointed one. Messiah, Hebrew. Christ, Greek. But who is this anointed one? What is his name? His name is Jesus. His name's not Christ. That's his title. He is the Christ. And many times you'll see Peter or John, or they'll say, "In the name of Jesus Christ." Are you with me? Jesus the Christ. That's a title. Just like doctor's a title. If I were to say doctor on a given service in here, there might be two or three doctors in here. On Sunday mornings, there's Dr. Bird, Dr. Galloway, maybe other doctors. But unless I put a name to it, all I've said was a title. So many times we can even say Christ, and that's not really offensive to some people. Or you can say church, good Lord, the man upstairs, my maker. Got right with my maker. Well, that's good. I mean, but do you have a name here somewhere? Because there's a lot of people think there's a lot of different makers up there.
Amen.
And you can even witness to people or talk to people, and you can talk about the church, or you can talk about the good Lord, or you talk about, you know, and I believe in the good Lord. Like, are you with me? Okay. I believe in my maker. I believe in a good book. I believe in a man upstairs. I believe all that, I do. But you know what? His name's Jesus. And it's amazing when you start talking about Jesus, people either get set free or saved, or they start getting nervous and run. They tremble. Well, the demons tremble at that name. I believe that. And it's even, I tell you, sometimes we even tremble at it. It's sometimes much easier for us to say things like, church, good book, man upstairs. But then when you almost, it takes a little effort sometimes to even say Jesus sometimes.
Come on,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Because that does pin it down, doesn't it? I mean, it just kind of puts it right there where it should be.
Yeah.
And we should make that stand. This is the name we've been given to bear. That's exactly what Jesus told Paul on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to persecute Christians, and he had a vision, epiphany. Jesus appeared to him and says, you know, he said, why are you persecuting me?
Come on.
And he asked, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus. I like that. I'm the good Lord. I am the man upstairs. No, he didn't say that. He said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute or persecuting. And he told him this. He said, he sent him to bear his name to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that. Really, that's what we're all to do, is to bear the name.
Yeah.
Our biggest compliment is when someone sees Jesus in us.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the best compliment we can get? Nice guy, great guy, that's all well and good. But when they see Jesus in, all of a sudden, man, hey, this is, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what we find out about the apostles themselves. And when they actually recognize Jesus in them. They had the same scent, had the same mark on them.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Okay, so it's the name that gets the job done. It's not your name, it's not my name, it's not International Outreach Church. Thank God for International Outreach Church. We got local churches and God's into churches, but we need to understand that the name we bear is Jesus. You know, we're not Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, all these things we can call ourselves. We're just Jesus people. Amen? Okay. And the name, 16th verse, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong. Let me interpret that for you. And his name through faith in his name has made this man strong. Isn't that a lot plainer? I could explain it even in more detail. And his name through faith in his name has made this man strong. You know, you've got to be pretty educated to misunderstand that. In essence, you can be too smart to get this, but you really can't be too dumb to get it, okay? Because it just means what it says. His name through faith in his name has made this man strong. Hallelujah. Well, the story goes on, fourth chapter. The Pharisees and the Sadducees get all upset and abduct Peter and John and throw them in their midst and begin to question them about what's going on here. In fact, it's interesting, notice the seventh verse of the fourth chapter. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Pretty straightforward. I mean, you know, they asked Peter, what gives you the right?
Amen.
You've heard the saying, who died and put you in charge?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Right.
He died and rose again. And sent me, and sent you, and sent all of us, told all us to go into all the world.
Amen.
Amen. Preach the gospel of good news to every creature. So who authorized us? Well, I've got a degree, and I've got this paper, this ordination slip, and so on and so forth that authorized. Well, no, wait a minute. That didn't make me a preacher. And I'm not against those things. I realize we live in a system where people need paperwork and sign things, and you know, and I understand that, but that doesn't make me a preacher. Even going to Bible college doesn't make me a preacher. Now, if I are one, if I am anointed and called to a certain office, it can enhance it. Education is a wonderful thing to enhance what God does. But if our calling doesn't come from Him, if our authorization doesn't come from Him, we're no different than anybody.
That's right.
We can just go around authorizing ourselves all day long. But our authorization comes from Him.
Yes.
The name that we preach and the power, the authority that we operate in comes from heaven.
Yeah.
Or if it doesn't, we're no different than anybody else. Amen. So Peter, in answering this question, sure had to answer that question a lot, didn't he? The eighth verse says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost," that's always a good thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost, "said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be judged for a good deed done," everybody say good deed.
Good deed.
See, God's not confused. Healing is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. In fact, sickness is a bad thing, not a good thing. We often say when people are sick that God's doing something good, but actually sickness itself is bad, and we know it's bad because we even say it's bad. If you're sick and I ask you how you're feeling, you don't say, "I'm feeling good." You say, "I'm feeling bad," because sickness is bad. And when you get better, you don't say, "I'm doing worse." You say, "You're doing okay" or "doing better." So we know more than we think we do, but I think much learning hath made us mad. We begin to think that good's bad and bad's good, but sickness is bad and healing's good. And God's good. Amen. So God's behind the good, not the bad. You say, where'd the bad come from? It didn't come from Him. There's only a couple places left. That's you and the devil. And believe me, it's a toss-up. It can be either one. Or a little bit of both. Okay. But anyway, it says, if we're examining for this good deed done, I like that. Man, that is so good. You know, God's not confused about sickness and disease and poverty and depression and all those things. He labels them. He tells them for what they are. In fact, you can read Deuteronomy 28 chapter and it lists the blessings and the cursings. If you want to know from God's Word what God thinks about sickness, He calls it a curse. If you want to know what He thinks about healing, He calls it a blessing. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him.
Amen.
So He went about doing good and healing. Healing's good. Sickness bad. This is good, isn't it?
Yes.
We're learning so much here. Sickness bad. Healing good. Man, if you just left with that, you just got it, don't you? I mean, that's okay. So He says, filled with the Holy Ghost, He says to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, listen closely, by what means he has been made well? There again, very plain, very, you know, not, he's not, it doesn't need a lot of interpretation. It's not International Outreach Church doctrine or Methodist doctrine, Pentecostal doctrine. Oh, forget all that. Let's just, the Bible says, and Peter's talking, and he says that he's answering the question that's asked him, and he's clarifying, he says, if I'm being judged for this good deed done, and you're asking me specifically by what means the man was made well, how it happened, how I did it, that's what you're asking me, what power, what name I did this. Let it be known, 10th verse, to you all, sound like he's from Texas, you all, and to all the people of Israel, listen closely, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him, this man stands here before you whole. Wow. Peter wasn't confused. And Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, most scholars agree with this. Luke wrote this, he wrote the book of Luke, the book of Acts. He wasn't confused. And anybody that had this book wasn't confused about how they did what they did. They understood how miracles happened. They understood how people got saved. They understood how deliverance took place. It was by the name of Jesus. And the devil hates that name. The world hates that name. I mean, it's amazing. They've made a cuss word out of that name. Nobody stumps their toe and says, "Oh, Buddha." Nobody hits their head on the car when they get in and says, "Oh, Mohammed."
That's right.
Come on. It's always Jesus Christ. In a degrading, almost a cuss word. Because if they can belittle and demean and degrade that name, they can rip it of its, take away its power, because there will be no faith in it.
And
it won't mean anything to you. You can do the same thing. You can make a cuss word out of it too, and and you say Jesus, and you hear them in a movie saying it the same. When something bad happens, they're not no more. They're more saved than a man in the moon. They're saying it as a cuss word. Come on, I'm not on a soapbox here. I'm just saying there is a conspiracy going on, not people consciously doing it. I'm talking about the devil and his crew would love to wipe out that name, make it meaningless. Yeah. And not even stop there, but make it a bad word instead of a cuss word, instead of a good word. Make it evil. Make it something you say when you're mad and upset and hurt. Wow. Can you see that? How it's been completely turned around. The name that we call on to be saved has become a cuss word in some people's thinking. Why is that? Real simple. The devil hates that name. He doesn't want people to call on that name. He doesn't want people to recognize what that name represents. The power in that name. And so here, Peter's very plain. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't make it real complicated. He doesn't lay out some huge theological dissertation here. He just says, hey, look, if you want to know how I did it, by what means I did this, well, this is, let it be known to you and everybody that this was done. I did this by the name of Jesus. Wow. That's good stuff. Amen. You know, the one you crucified, who God raised from the dead. He always throws that in there. I love that. He always said, you killed him, God raised him from the dead. He said it. We just read it over in third chapter. He said, you killed the Prince of Life. God raised him from the dead. Remember the one you crucified and killed? God raised him from the dead. Y'all do know God raised him from the dead. He's alive. See, that's what he keeps throwing that out there. He's been raised. Hallelujah. And so he says here, let's read it again. If we this day are judged for or examined for a good deed done to this helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now think about it there. I as a Christian do not believe, now stay with me on this point, I do not believe that everything in Buddhism is wrong. I think there's probably some good moral teaching in Buddhism. I think there's good teaching in the Muslim faith. But I know there's no way to be saved except calling on Jesus. And although there may be some truth in some of these religions, all the truth and the whole truth, nothing but the truth, is only in Christianity. It's only in Christ.
That's right.
There is no other name. You can't call on Buddha to be saved. You can't call on Muhammad to be saved. You can't, as a Christian, doesn't mean I believe everything and every other religion is wrong. Come on, I don't have to believe that. I think there's some truth in a lot of religions, but there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the whole truth is only in him. Because he didn't say, I bring a truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I show you a way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I offer life. He said, I am life. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Woo, hallelujah. There is no other name. Hallelujah. But notice here, it says it's given to us. I love that. We taught on that, a whole message on the names given. Now bear in mind, we're just easing through the book of Acts here, just noticing how they use that name. In Acts, the second chapter, they baptized in that name. Acts 2:38 says they baptized in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of Jesus. You say you don't say Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah, we do that too. Jesus said baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then if you go in the back book of Acts, they always said in the name of Jesus or the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of the Lord. If you want to get exact, they're not exact. But it's something about the name. So we baptize people. This I do in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost under the authority invested in Jesus' name. And then we take them under. Get them fully wet. And everybody we've ever took under, I've always brought back up. To walk with him in newness of life. Hallelujah, somebody. But often people will ask, do you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I go, yes, we do. And then I have other people, did you baptize in the name of Jesus? We sure do. We say what Jesus said, And then just like the book of Acts carries on, they baptize in the name of Jesus. We say in Jesus' name. So everybody's covered, and everybody should be happy.
Or wet.
Or wet, yeah, that's for sure. So here they are explaining this very plainly. And notice this, the 13th verse. Now when they saw the boldness, oh, I love that, of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. But see, there was Jesus was on them. Thank God. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! There's something about that. See, you get around him, you know, it just gets on you. Anybody ever hug Dr. Galloway Sunday morning? You smell like Dr. Galloway for at least a day. I don't know what cologne he's got on. If he were here, I'd say the same thing. I don't know what cologne he's got on, but it's good stuff. In fact, I've thought about not even using cologne, just running and hugging him for the service. I'm good for the day. And, I mean, where is Charlie? He's not even here tonight, and I'm talking about him. I wish he were here. It'd be funnier. But anyway, Brenda or any of my kids can walk up to him and say, "You just hugged Dr. Galloway, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes, I did." I can walk, it's in my, you can smell it in my office while I walk in the office. You know, it's some strong stuff, whatever it is, good stuff. But that's the way it is with Jesus. If you spend time with Jesus, you just smell like him, you look like him, you sound like him. You talk like him, you walk like him. And if you're not, you're not spending much time with him.
That's right.
Amen? Okay, let me finish this up. I'm not going to get further in this fourth chapter, but okay, so they marveled, they realized they had been with Jesus, 14th verse, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You know, we make so much of theological arguments or logic or deductive reasoning, inductive reasoning, and, you know, making the case. And I'm real analytical, and I love to argue, and I have to watch that, and I love to win arguments, you know, and lay it out there and prove it, and I think there's a tremendous amount of proof in any area you want to look in concerning the Bible, archaeologically, geographically, scientifically, logically, all those things. But there is nothing like a changed life.
That's right.
There's nothing like a miracle. There's nothing like an eyewitness. There is nothing that will take the place of that. Even the argument of whether, you know, Jesus was the Son of God or whether he was God or really changed his lives or whatever, was he really, you know, born of a virgin, which I believe all that, no question. I believe the Bible is very plain concerning that. But one thing for sure that you could never argue me out of, I have met him, okay? I know him. You can't change that. We could discuss Brenda and all the intricacies about Brenda, and I could tell you some things about Brenda. That'd all be good. I could write a book about Brenda. You could write a book about Brenda. We could all write books about Brenda, and we could all talk about Brenda. We could talk about she's this way, and she said this, and she did that. But see, as much as we could argue about Brenda, Brenda's not a doctrine. She is a person that I know, and I have met. We can argue about doctrine, but you can't argue about someone you know. You can't talk me out of knowing somebody I already met. So Jesus, you know, with all the theology and all the arguments and all this, see, there's something about, I know him, I've met him, I've been changed by him, he's touched my life, praise God. He's not up for argument.
Right. Yeah.
We might talk about some of the things he does and says and so on and so forth, but you're never going to talk me out of Jesus, see, because he's not an idea I came up with or a concept I bought into. He is a person I have met. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I have been born again.
Amen. Yes.
I've accepted and received him. He's not an argument. He's not. Are you with me? So here they are. They couldn't argue with the fact. The man's standing there whole. Powerful thing. Somebody get delivered from drugs. Somebody get healed. We can all testify here tonight about what God has done in our lives. You need to talk about what God has done in your life. It's not complicated. It's real simple. Witnessing's real easy. Just tell what he's done for you. That's all you got to do. Can't argue with that. You're a first-hand eyewitness to the truth, a living witness, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, known and read of all men. So this goes on. I'm closing this out. Stay with me. Man, the time's just flying by. Goodness gracious. Okay. They couldn't argue with the man standing there. 15th verse. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves. That's always a big problem. Don't ever do that. You confer with Jesus. Amen. Because you get amongst yourself, you'll always mess up. They conferred amongst themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them. It's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. And so, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." Because I tell you, I think that's what it is, folks. It's that name. I mean, we got to stop that name. That name's trouble. That name, there's going to be more miracles. We got to put a stop to this. More people are going to have their lives changed. And what are we going to do? We got a problem on our hands. Let's cut this thing off right here. Now listen, you heard what Peter said. It's that name. Now we got it. They have more sense than the church does. Are you with me? They understood this better than we do. They didn't even know him. And they understood this is a dangerous, dangerous thing, this name. And so it says, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Hey, we've got a deal for you. You keep preaching, that's fine. Just don't use that name. Wow. Does that speak to you? I mean, you get that? This is the opposition. This is their strategy. And they're not idiots. I mean, come on. They've looked this thing over and see what they've got to do to stop this. How do you stop miracles? How do you stop the flow of God, the power of God? How do you stop changed life? Real simple. Just stop using the name. Don't even mention it from the pulpit. Don't mention it when you pray. Oh, in public, don't ever end in Jesus' name. Well, you don't want to ask me to pray. Yeah. I'm here, you know, I was pastor for the day down at Texas State Legislature. And they have a pastor for the day that opens up the legislation that day in prayer. And so, you know, they asked me to go down. And Dan Flynn, of course, our representative. And Betty Brown, a member of our church, been represented for years. So I went down there and, you know, and I prayed a good prayer, you know, just real nice prayer about God giving them wisdom and direction and, you know, and let healing come into their bodies if they're fighting sickness and disease and so on and so forth. And when I ended, I said, "In the matchless name of Jesus, amen." Walked off the pulpit area. I think if any time we ought to use that name, it ought to be when people are listening. Or were people offended by that? I don't know if they're offended or not. I know God would be offended if I didn't use it, if I didn't stand up for it and speak in it and preach in it, pray in it. The prayer would have been useless if I didn't say Jesus' name anyway. Amen? Amen. So, you know, the story goes on. Like, I got to quit. The story goes on, and they were excited that they'd been threatened because of that name. Now, you turn in prayer requests and start crying because somebody persecuted you and told you they didn't believe in Jesus, and you thought you were being persecuted. But they were threatened, and they were excited about it. Yeah. Woo-hoo, man, they threatened my life today. I was counted worthy to suffer for His name. Hallelujah. Yeah. And they got together, and they prayed, and it's just awesome prayer. I don't have time to get into it or read it. I can quote it because I do that. I'm kind of sneaky. But they got together and they prayed and they said, "Oh Lord, behold their threatenings. Now grant us boldness." Yeah. "Lord, make them all go away. Can't everybody get along with me, Lord?" No, "Behold their threatenings. Now grant me boldness that I may speak your word." Yeah. "And that you would stretch forth your hand." This is what they prayed. It's the fourth chapter of Acts. It's when they left this meeting here with the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, Sadducees. "Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." Wow. Shut up? No, we're not going to shut up. No, 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 no. Quit speaking? No, Lord, give us boldness to continue to speak. And Lord, stretch your hand out there and continue to do miracles, signs, and wonders by the name, by the name, by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Amen. That was their prayer. That'll be our prayer. Yes. Lord, give us boldness to speak up. Amen. And to use that name. Speak that name. And you know, when you do that, God will begin to move. Yes.